Yeah, honestly, Xander, I chalk it up to the new offense. You're seeing a lot of mid-range throws, which obviously Jalen Hurts hasn't really done a lot lately. Tight ends are getting more involved in the offense. There hasn't been a lot of timing in terms of deep routes, right? I mean, he's had a couple of different opportunities to hit, whether it be a John Ross or an A.J. Brown. They haven't been able to connect. But I think right now it's more so trying to establish a rhythm offensively, work on the mid-range throws, the dump-offs to the running backs, while also trying to process everything that's being thrown at you, right? I mean, that's always a challenge at this point of the offseason.
Welcome back in, everybody. A Football Friday edition of Birds 365 following the Eagles minicamp. Joined now by Andrew DiCecco from InsideTheBirds.com and a contributor on 97.5 The Fanatic. DiCecco, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's going on, fellas? How are you?
Good to see you, DiCecco. Now, Andrew tapped out. I was criticizing you yesterday. Mosher never showed up. You could have been there. I was talking to your buddy Adam Kaplan.
I missed you, though. A 50-minute practice?
Yeah, 50 minutes. Yeah. Bunch of second, third team guys. Yeah, it was like school's out day. You didn't miss much, but you did miss Jalen Hurts saying 95% of the offense is new, which I think is a good thing, Andrew, from the perspective that I never liked the idea of meshing two offenses. If you're going to hire somebody, hire him to run the offense, and he'll figure out what Jalen Hurts does well. And that'll happen in a natural way versus a forced way. So I think it was positive from the perspective of it explains some of the struggles of the first team offense in the spring and shouldn't be that worrisome. They're learning a new system.
Yeah, John, you and I have talked a lot at practice and over the past couple months about the challenges of marrying two offensive schemes and the complexity and the burden that it places on offensive players trying to learn it. There's always going to be challenges, but I think it's not really a surprise to see or hear, rather, Jalen Hurts say that 95% of the offense is new, which obviously points to the challenges that you're starting to see right now, a little bit of turbulence. But as we always say, there's a disclaimer. It's spring practice. They're trying to iron out a lot of the problem areas and get everybody on board and acclimated to the offense so that when training camp rolls around, there's not that tutorial process. You're not wasting the first 2 or 3 days trying to get everybody, you know, up and running.
Yeah, Andrew, what did you make of I know everybody talked about how the offense has been struggling all week at camp. I don't want to make too much of it, but it's not great passing camp when you're struggling. Do you chalk it all up to the new offense, or is there any concern lingering for you that the offense is going to start slow here?
Yeah, honestly, Xander, I chalk it up to the new offense. You're seeing a lot of mid-range throws, which obviously Jalen Hurts hasn't really done a lot lately. Tight ends are getting more involved in the offense. There hasn't been a lot of timing in terms of deep routes, right? I mean, he's had a couple of different opportunities to hit, whether it be a John Ross or an A.J. Brown. They haven't been able to connect. But I think right now it's more so trying to establish a rhythm offensively, work on the mid-range throws, the dump-offs to the running backs, while also trying to process everything that's being thrown at you, right? I mean, that's always a challenge at this point of the offseason. So it looks like maybe his head's spinning a little bit, but it's not something that is something that we shouldn't have expected. I don't think that – obviously it's not any cause for concern right now, but this is to be expected as you move forward through the offseason. This is why mandatory minicamp is so important, to have this process where you're able to kind of work through these different things and you're not wasting that time in the summer when every practice is so valuable.
Yeah, just a quick follow-up. I often think about that right now when I hear Jalen say 95% new offense. I'm like, are they even out there enough for him to be able to practice this, to be competent in it? I mean, there's not that much off-season work, so you're right. It's all very valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone said, well, what can you glean from a mandatory minicamp? What's with the OTAs? Well, when you have two new coordinators – trying to onboard everybody. And remember, not everybody was present for the OTA session. So you're getting the full team together right now. You're ironing out everything. You're maybe giving them something to think about during these 6 weeks of something they can work on at points of emphasis. So I think it's very beneficial. Yeah, we weren't able to glean much as media members, but I mean, the players, I think, got, you know, took away a lot of valuable information from it.
Yeah.
On the one hand, we want to write off some of the offensive struggles, but then by nature, you want to talk about how good the defense was, and they were, and they were great, and especially the young defensive backs. Do we put that same disclaimer and say, whoa, slow down when play action shows up, when the running game is a threat, when that offensive line gets on the field and starts being physical? Those are the true tests. So how excited should we be about the defense?
I'm very excited. I can't wait for the pads to come on. I want to see how a Isaiah Rodgers going to fare going against an A.J. Brown on one-on-ones who has a slighter build. I want to see what Kelee Ringo can do. You, John, you've been very high on Kelee Ringo, and this spring, these spring practices sort of checked off some boxes for me. I need to see a little bit more from Kelee, but man, is he, you know, patient, trust his technique, fluid down the field, competitive. I mean, it's very intriguing qualities, but you want to see how that manifests when the pads come on. This is a fast flowing defense. I've given new defensive backs coach Christian Parker a lot of flowers for him coming in, knowing that communication was going to be a hallmark of his coaching prowess. And you're starting to see that now. You're seeing CJ Gardner-Johnson and Cooper DeJean and all these different guys, you know, shuffling in and out, and the communication never seems to be, you know, somewhere where it would be concerning. I think that everybody seems to be cohesively blending, whether it be first, second, or third team.
Yeah. Christian Parker, who spoke earlier in the week, he was tremendous when he spoke. Very intelligent guy. Great to hear from him. And speaking of him, what do you make of the cornerback specifically? I mean, we just talked about him a little bit, but a lot of young guys stepping up. Kelee, Isaiah, Quinyon Mitchell's out there, Cooper DeJean. All of a sudden, Andrew, it's like, cornerback city. We're a cornerback factory now in Philadelphia. What do you make of the young guys stepping up?
Very exciting. And John knows this, and you may as well, Xander. I've written extensively about the younger corners last year. I've gotten to know a lot of these guys, what they do well. Well, maybe they don't do so well. So you're seeing how it translates from the offseason to now. And I think when you look at it, in Quinyon Mitchell has quietly had a really good spring. He's always around the football. He's competitive. He has a quiet swagger about him, which AJ Brown alluded to earlier in the week.
I think
Cooper DeJean has done some really good things operating as the first team nickel. Really heady player, smart, instinctive. He almost came away with an interception off Jalen Hurts the other day. And Kelee Ringo is somebody who really took a big leap forward, I think, and he looks to be the real deal. Obviously, this is spring practices, and there's always a disclaimer that needs to be put out there. But I thought I saw some really encouraging things. We haven't even gotten into Eli Ricks, Josh Jobe, and some of those guys who saw pretty substantial snaps last year who are now going to be vying for roster spots. I mean, that's a good problem to have for the Eagles.
Yeah, it is. And then if you flip it over, it was interesting. I was talking to Damo in the first hour, Andrew. Want to get your thoughts on, because he brought up Nick Sirianni earlier in the week talking. He was asked about the third receiver, and he kind of deflected to, well, you can go about it that a lot of ways. You can go about it formationally. You can 21 personnel with two running backs. Now that you have Barkley and Gainwell, 12, Grant Calcaterra gave some flowers to him. And Grant has seemed to show up a little bit the last few days of camp. Is that all just, we don't have a third receiver? And if John Ross shows up and proves, because he does have, you could see why he was a top 10 pick back in 2017. He's got a lot of twitch in his body, is how he would like to say. If he shows up, they stop talking about that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely. But I think you can do some window dressing with 21 personnel, 12 personnel. So it obviously, when you look at it in a vacuum, it places an emphasis on the third receiver and the Eagles' lack of one right now that you can put a rubber stamp on and say, this is our guy moving forward. I'm not sure that the number three receiver right now is on the roster. And, you know, when you look at trade possibilities potentially with some of the wealth of defensive backs that they suddenly have right now, I think that one of those guys, if you know they're not going to make the roster, maybe they give you an opportunity to upgrade that number three role. Right now, I think Paris Campbell is obviously the lead in that. But John Ross, to me, he answered a lot of questions that I had going into it in terms of being able to still create separation, stay healthy, get involved. He got involved with the first team pretty early.
Yeah.
With the intermediate routes. I think he did some really good things. And obviously he's still a long shot. But you know, you don't want to rule it out, especially when they lack depth so much. I mean, you and I have had extensive talks about Joseph Ngata. I like Joe Ngata. He's a great guy, but you don't see the separation. He doesn't move really well. He apparently had a nice play yesterday, but they have a lot of question marks there, guys. And I think that that's a position that they could look to upgrade.
Andrew, you've been down there for, this week for minicamp, also OTAs. So we've seen 4 or 5 practices from these guys. What, any spot on the roster right now in the depth chart that you're concerned about? I know we just talked about wide receiver, and that's a concern too. But at the end of the day, you do have Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. Sure. It's tough to be, you know, over the top on receiver. Is there anything that's striking you as overwhelmingly weak on this roster that you could think they'll upgrade or make a move for in the offseason?
Yeah, I would highlight a few different areas just, to kind of put that on folks' radar. Safety, they're really light there, especially when,
James Bradbury.
Well, he's hurt. Sidney Brown is working his way back now. All signs point to him being ready earlier in the season. But also, you have to learn a new defensive system. So that's not an assured, notion that he's going to be able to help you early in his return. But beyond that, you might have Avante Maddox. He's not a lock to make the roster, who can kind of give you that safety corner versatility. Tyler Hall has played safety, albeit sparingly, with the Raiders. You look at it there, Keely Ringo cross-trained to safety last year, but, they don't have a lot of options there. Mekhi Garner, Tristan McCollum, those guys are more 4 or 5 safeties, safety 4 or 5. So I think that might be an area that you look to potentially upgrade. Tight end. We mentioned Grant Calcaterra. Albert Okwuegbunam had a really good spring, I think. EJ Jenkins is a dark horse, and he's more so a practice squad guy. But behind CJ Uzama, who, by the way, has not stayed healthy for a while, has a couple knee injuries to keep an eye on. He's a bit older. There's not a lot there behind Goddard. And Goddard missed 3 games last season. Calcaterra had a chance to play in all 3 of those games. I think he only garnered 4 targets, or he caught 4 passes all year, played 25 snaps over that period of time, which tells you that the Eagles maybe aren't sure with what they have there, or maybe not confident that he can add something to the offense. So I think that might be an area to look at as well.
Yeah, with safety though, Andrew, I think that's part of, you mentioned the cross training. Look, if Avante is healthy, he's going to be on this team. That's the big question with Avante Maddox and his ability to play nickel and safety, I think kind of mitigates some of the depth problems. And then Cooper, they haven't done it yet, but Cooper DeJean's versatility. So to me, I look at it, and I think how he's looking at it this way is, on paper, I'm going to keep one less safety, but then I can keep one more of those great young corners. And so, because they're going to have to cut an NFL level corner or 2.
Yeah. Probably 2, yeah.
If you think about it from the perspective of, we need a 4th safety, I don't think they necessarily need a 4th safety, because I'm with you, Sidney Brown. If I'm a betting man, I've said this pretty consistently, Sidney's going to be there week 1. And even if you lose that bet, he's going to be there very early. I think people have this. It's tough for people to get over the advancements. And it used to be a year-long injury. You got hurt so late. It's a 9-month injury now with all the advancements. So he's going to be ready very early. And then you have that 4 safety being Avante and Cooper. And you have this ability to and even mentioned Tyler Hall. He might make the team because – you have versatile guys who can handle that 4 safety role if you need it. I think that's the way Howie Roseman is thinking. Is that a good way to think?
It's a complicated way to think, because you're putting all your eggs in the basket of a young player being able to quickly pivot and learn a new position and be able to contribute if needed, right? And Cooper DeJean, I'm speaking about. Sidney Brown, someone who hasn't taken any defensive reps this spring and most likely this summer as well. All of a sudden, what happens if week 6 or something, you need him to step in there and play a prominent role for you defensively. I mean, this is not an easy system to learn, and it's not a slam dunk that he's going to be able to be up to speed by that point. I think at least having a veteran there and another veteran there as an insurance plan this summer, or in the event that you might need somebody to help implement the defense on board guys, kind of like what Will Greer is doing offensively, I think would be beneficial to the Eagles right now. But they have players who on paper can do it and can give you that versatility. But until we see it, I don't know that you can kind of bank on that.
Andrew, when you say, and you and John say, they might have to cut two NFL-level cornerbacks, that is tough for me to – I just don't know if I see how we're doing that. I brought this up to John earlier. Not saying I want this to happen, but it is a business. If these young guys step up, could Darius Slay be a trade candidate by the trade deadline for this team? I mean, you're gonna cut a guy that's 22 or 23 years old and keep a 33-year-old guy that probably is not going to be here after the year. Tough for me to gauge whether how Howie would weigh that. He is a forward-thinking GM. Got to think he's at least considering it. What do you think about that?
That's a great question. So before I answer, I wanted to hear kind of where you're at with the cornerback landscape and who you view the Eagles parting ways with, because I'll be able to kind of answer it off that.
Well, it looks like it would be, I mean, is Eli Ricks going to make it in there? Is Josh Job going to make it in there? Those are great. Well, Eli, not so much, but Job is a great special teams guy. I mean, I'm looking at Isaiah Rogers, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Keely Ringo. You know, those are right there. That's five cornerbacks off the top of my head that are great young prospects that you want to keep on your roster, you know? So I don't know how exactly it would shape. Right.
So you mentioned Eli Ricks. He would be a player that could potentially, if you're looking to upgrade a receiver or elsewhere, he could be a player that you might not have to cut, but maybe that he's enticing in a trade scenario because he has that pedigree. That's why they kept him last summer, because he did not have a good training camp. But you see the Alabama and the LSU pedigree. He was a top-ranked corner, so you don't want to part ways with that, because that might be one of the 40 players or so that actually do get claimed off waivers. And you mentioned Josh Job. Josh Job's actually 26 years old, but he was on the Pro Bowl ballot as a special teamer, incredibly valuable. One of the only players who did not get yelled at the other day when they were doing that.
Nobody cares about special teams except you and me.
I know. And I looked at John. I think
the Eagles are going to value that. You want your cornerbacks at the bottom to be good special teams guys. That's more valuable. Yeah.
When he made that play, I looked over at John. I said, plays like that are why you can never rule somebody like that off when you're kind of configuring your 53-man roster. And I will say this, when you're whittling down your game day roster and you're trying to get that 46 and figure out how to maximize it, it's not who's the best sixth corner or fifth corner that you're trying. Comes down to who can help you in the third phase. And that needs to be taken into consideration when you're assessing the group as a whole.
Yeah. And then also, and this reverts back to safety even more so what we're talking about. Don't forget the practice squad is expanded, so you can probably get guys like Mekhi Gardner back on the practice squad,
McCollum
on the practice squad, and at corner, and then it comes to debate. You can even get veterans on the practice squad. So can you get Eli Ricks through waivers? Can you get Tyler Hall through waivers? Can you get Josh Job through waivers and elevate him? Remember, they did that with Britton Cubby 2 years in a row.
That ain't happening anymore.
But if your feeling is you can get Josh Job through waivers, you can elevate him for the first three games and then make a decision. There's usually an injury and bring him up later. Howie's been very good at that since they changed the roster rules. So he'll try to maximize guys. I had this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Discussion, you mentioned Ricks not having a good training camp. So, Andrew, you won the 53, right, last year? Yes, sir. You won it. I'm a former champion. One of the reasons I lost it last year is because I picked Garner over Ricks. And my perspective was I was doing the meritocracy thing. And Makai had a better training camp. And he's a better special teams player. But the Eagles' perspective was they knew they could get him through waivers, and they didn't know if they could get Ricks through waivers. Ultimately, I think they would have got both through, but we'll never know. It worked out for them because they were able to keep both players. That's the stuff Howie's very good at, and it's a big advantage for the Eagles. It really is.
I study the cornerback group. I've been studying it for the past couple of months and reaching out and talking to different people and compared with the knowledge that I've gained from getting to know some of these guys. And it is such a fascinating scenario and how it's going to play out. And it's ultimately going to be determined in training camp. You can look great in shorts. You can look great, running around out there, making plays on the football. But when the pads come on, are you going to win your one-on-ones? How are you going to fare on special teams? Are you going to be more? It comes down to consistency as well. Practice consistency is going to be paramount in getting in the good graces of Vic Fangio, right?
Yeah.
And it's also important to know.
And that's my concern with Ringo, by the way, because Ringo wasn't a great practice player last year, but he seems to have learned from that. Yeah.
That's what I was going with in terms of Ricks and Ringo, two guys who did not have good practice sessions in training camp, by all accounts. That's something to keep an eye on, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not so much with Keeley, because I think Keeley has proven it in a game situation. But when you're looking at it like Ricks, if you're not going to practice consistently, what can you give us on special teams?
Let's go defensive line. I know we don't see much from the lines and at this point of the summer, but I got a couple questions about the defensive line. Do they have enough depth at DT is my first question. And then my second question is, in the edge rusher room, we're counting on Nolan Smith to play some games this year. He needs to play some significant snaps in order for that room to have the depth it needs to be successful. Do they have that, and do they have that at DT as well?
I'm glad you went there. No, I don't believe that the depth is there at defensive tackle, Xander. And look, you can look across any roster in the NFL and say, yeah, when you get to the fourth or fifth defensive tackle, I mean, what do you really expect? But it's unproven when you look at Moro Ojomo. I really liked him coming out of Texas. I thought he was a steal for the Eagles where they got him. Long arms, gives you positional versatility. But he hasn't played a whole lot of football. And when you're relying heavily on Milton Williams to play a pretty big role for you this year.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox had 700 snaps last year. That's a lot of snaps missing from the DT room.
All of a sudden, Milton Williams is now essentially a starter for you, by all accounts. And then, he's not your reserve, your guy coming off the bench. So then you're leaning on Marwan Tuipulotu, who's been banged up a lot the past couple of seasons, and Moro Ojomo. And Gabe Hall is sort of the wild card here in that he had a lot of teams interested in him. He can play any position really on the defensive line, and he has really long arms and things like that. But is he going to be able to make enough of an impression over the couple of months that he's going to have to win over the coaching staff? That's not something that can be taken lightly. And I think they could stand to add a veteran along the Kentavious Street type of level signing.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Nolan Smith, which is a player that I've gotten asked about a lot this offseason, and rightfully so. He looks a little bit bigger to me, but I haven't noticed him a lot, John. I don't know if you have in the practice sessions, obviously he's dropping in coverage, but I've noticed a lot of other guys dropping. Not so much Nolan. I know he's fluid and he can do it. He has some range to him. But this is a really pivotal season for Nolan Smith, who a lot of the pass rush outlook is solely dependent on Bryce Huff and Nolan Smith. And we have to be – I haven't really seen –
A concern.
This is a first-round pick, though, guy. I mean, this is the only first-round pick I've ever seen in Philadelphia where no one appears to care if he has significant snaps in year two.
I think everybody cares.
I certainly care. I think it's one of the biggest things I'm worried about.
I mean, that's a big part of the Hassan Reddick thing in the – vacuum, and it's about more than one move for one move. Nolan Smith needs to play more, needs to be more effective. And the voluntary work, to Andrew's point, I noticed him quite a bit, and it's all dropping in coverage as the hook defender, the flat defender. When they did go to the rare team drill, and by team, I mean 11 on 11, I didn't see a lot of them. It was mainly Huff, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham when it got to the mandatory aspect. So that concerned me a little bit.
That's where I was going with it.
Yeah, that concerned me a little bit because he's got to get involved. He's got to get involved. But that we're talking about, Andrew, one period a day?
The 11 on 11 was so brief, Xander.
It's really hard
to glean anything, but you're 100% right on this in that, I mean, a lot of the defensive prospects leans heavily on what you're going to get out of Bryce Huff and Nolan Smith. It's a really big year for Nolan. I like Nolan a lot. He presents himself well. He has a lot of leadership qualities that are very apparent when you hear him talk and you see how a lot of the younger players sort of respond to his sort of vocal approach.
Yeah, so, PG-esque.
What's that?
It's PG-esque a little bit.
And both him and N'Kobe Dean, who we haven't talked about, both have those intangibles. So you like to see them be able to have that translate onto the field. And I think that they're going to be given every opportunity to. But I'm a little bit more sure actually on the N'Kobe than I am for Nolan, just because of the whole shoulder thing and we just haven't really seen.
That's interesting. Andrew at Andrew Jacheco. So I'll end it with N'Kobe Dean. InsideTheBirds.com does a tremendous job there. 97.5 The Fanatic, doing great work with our buddy Bill Colarulo as well. Is Bill still on his honeymoon?
I heard from him. He actually listened into my segment yesterday from Aruba. He texted me.
Bill's
on his honeymoon. He can't get enough of Eagles camp.
Bill, there's better stuff to do on your honeymoon.
Turn your phone off.
That's no insult to you, Andrew, but there's better stuff to do on your honeymoon. So,
I appreciate the love. Billy C is great, but I'm like, enjoy your time, man.
Aruba, dude. Come on.
N'Kobe, a lot of people have come to the conclusion that Devin White is, you know, Brian Urlacher at this point. And to Devin's credit, he has looked very, very good in spring work without the pads, without the play action, without the discipline that you have to have at certain times. He's looked very athletic. We all knew that. We should have known that. Number 5 overall pick. And a lot of people are thinking, hey, Devin White's going to be the middle linebacker. I'm still leaning towards N'Kobe Dean. Not completely healthy. They let him stick the toes in the pool, so to speak. I still think when training camp begins, they're going to default to N'Kobe Dean. Am I off base there? Where are you with the linebacker situation?
I think you and I might be in the minority there, John. I really do think that they're going to revert back to N'Kobe Dean, who, by the way, I don't know if you noticed this. He looks a little bit bigger to me, like he added some muscle over the offseason. But, look, it's never been about the ability. He is a smart player, which goes a long way with Vic Fangio. He's going to be wearing the green dot if he's inserted into the starting lineup. It comes about – it reverts back to health. And are you able to be available for the full slate of games? Can you withstand the rigors of a full NFL season? The first season, he didn't miss a practice. He didn't miss a game. Granted, he was a core special teamer. Last season, he had two freak injuries on both feet. So what is it? Is it the exception or is it the rule at the pro level? We have to find that out. But I think that knowing his qualities and what really is going to endear himself to Vic Fangio, it's his football IQ and his ability. And we also don't know how Vic plans to use N'Kobe, right? For all we know, and we've seen him thinking outside the box with Zach Bond, he may envision N'Kobe as a will linebacker. We don't know. And I think that if he's able to stay healthy, I think he's going to be just fine. It's not about ability with N'Kobe.
Yeah, it's about staying healthy. And obviously he's struggled to do that. Let's hope he gets the cleats figured out. Let's hope he gets can heal up well and can be a contributor on the Eagles defense this year. Andrew, thanks for joining the show, man. Every time I talk to you, we learn something new about the Eagles. You're tremendous on the team. You do great work on Inside the Birds.
Thanks a lot, man.
And 97.5 The Fanatic. Thanks for joining Birds 365, man.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good day.
Yep, thanks, same bud. Here's Andrew Jacheco joining us on Birds 365. What a great guest, Johnny Mack. He's one of those guys you can rattle a name, rattle a topic, rattle a stat, something. Andrew's got an answer for it, and a good one.
Yeah, he's Andrew knows his stuff, man.
Yeah, he's great to talk to.
He really is. And InsideTheBirds.com, as you mentioned, 97.5, doing a lot of work with them and Bill Colarulo. So tune into those guys when you get a chance over there as well. We'll try to get them on the show pretty frequently. Obviously, we try to get Bill each and every week. Couldn't get him this week because he's got better things to do.
It sounds like maybe we could have got him this
week. Maybe we should have tried.
Still tuned in to the mini camp. He can't take a break.
Tried, yeah.
Well, pretty good stuff this week, Johnny Mac. I'm not going to take another time out. We have about 6 minutes or 7 minutes left to go here on the week. And then we're going to go into a little bit of a lull period. I don't want to call it a lull period because you never know what the Eagles might do. But it does seem like they're going to be a 6 or 7 week period here where before training camp, I have some great topics that I'm going to bring up in the, over the course of the next couple of weeks. We'll dive deep into the team. We want to, like I said earlier, I want to make the fans the most knowledgeable fans. So we'll dive into every aspect of the roster. I think we'll even do a little bit on the practice squad, Johnny Mac. So get ready for that. I want the fans to know if somebody goes down or if practice squad guys getting called up, who is it? How are they? What have we seen from them? So we'll get a little bit into that, and we'll also touch on opponents and stuff like that that the Eagles will have in 2024. But Johnny Mac, the week has come to a conclusion here. Birds 365 has come to a conclusion on the week.
Mini camp week.
What's your as you leave mini camp week? You just listened to the Checo. We talked about Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts. How you feeling about this football team going into the summer break here?
It's a good team. It's just a matter of how good. I think, you know, is it a playoff level team? Is it a team that's going to be in that conversation, or is it a team that's going to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender again? I think that's what you're trying to ascertain at this point. I don't see a collapse of epic performance. I don't see a team that's not going to be in the playoff conversation. There's too much talent. So it's a matter of how you maximize it with the new coordinators. And I've said it pretty frequently that I think, you know, Vic's presence will get this defense back into middle of the pack. I don't think it's going to be top five or anything or near the top of the league. I still think you're in that. You need to add a little bit more talent, or, you know, some of the guys with significant talent like Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, they need a bit of a ramp up period before you start going. But I think you're going to see significant improvement from what was the 31st pass defense in the NFL. And you get that near middle of the league, and I think you start to say, well, they have so much talent on offense, which hasn't shown up in the spring. So the offense, it's more of, you know, how are they going to take to that 95% new offense? How does Saquon Barkley get integrated? And we haven't seen any of that. And he can't. And Saquon, and a lot of people are upset at me and have been upset about me. I hear it every day that I'm too hard on Saquon. I'm not too hard on Saquon. I'm too hard on you. For the people that think that he's going to be some kind of Jim Brown-like superstar on a team that is geared towards A.J. Brown. It's the modern era. It's geared towards the passing offense. And how is it going to fit? How is the pieces are going to fit? And that we haven't even seen the running game integrated yet. We're in a passing camp environment. So that's going to be a big part of it, because I think, and I said this yesterday on the show, the strength of this offense is still the offensive line before you even get to AJ and Devontae and Dallas and Saquon. It's still about the offensive line. And that group is going to be very good. How good? Is it going to be as good as they were with Jason Kelce? To be determined. I think Cam Jurgens is going to be a very effective player. I should have asked Andrew his thoughts on Tyler Steen. We didn't get to Tyler today. I think Mekhi Becton being involved at left guard during minicamp week because Landon Dickerson wasn't there, excused absence. I think that enters a curveball into the conversation. I still think they want Tyler to win the job. And I'll say this because we got to talk to Mekhi Becton, Sander. He's more comfortable on the left side. And he specifically said it's easier for him to move from left tackle to left guard than it was for him to move from left tackle to right tackle, which was interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Because then, in theory, you know, right guard is the spot we're talking about. He's not beating out Landon Dickerson or Jordan Mailata.
Yeah, no.
So right guard is the spot, and he's not as comfortable on the right side. So that complicates that a little bit. But it's nice to have some options, and the Eagles also brought in Max Sharping, who was just getting ramped up, and they still have Matt Hennessy. So a lot of questions to be answered, a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, so it should be a good summer, good 7 weeks here as we prepare for them to get to training camp. I think I think they made the right move from the perspective of bringing in experienced coordinators versus last year where you go into a season with two new coordinators, both young guys, both young guns, not very experienced at the coordinator position. Looks like they learned from the mistake there. Hopefully it's enough to at least make a run this year, because it is hard to win a Super Bowl when you have two new coordinators. You know, it's not easy to be a Super Bowl contender with two new coordinators. Doesn't mean it can't be done, but I do think it's hard. I want to thank everybody in the chat. You guys were amazing all week long, as you always are. You guys are some of the most loyal fans. Many of you show up here every single day and listen to our show, contribute to our show. And I can't thank you guys enough for making Birds 365 grow and be a success. It's been great since I've been sitting in the chair. I've learned a lot. I've been enjoying doing the show with Johnny Mac, and I will continue to try and get better, make the show better, and keep you guys entertained every single day and talking knowledgeable on the Eagles. So we'll continue to do that. Thank you, Amber. Thank you, Slagger. James Carver was great today, ripping some people in the chat. SMD Eagles, Barbara Carroll, who's always here. Even Niners all damn day, Johnny Mac. We got fans not only from all over the world, but we got fans of every NFL team. Where's my man, James Jones? There he is. The resident Commander fan in the chat, James Jones. We love you, James. Thank you guys all for being here. Johnny Mac, thanks for your great week of work. You were down there at NovaCare working like a fiend again. So thanks for doing that. Thanks for bringing on the great insight, the great knowledge, and bringing the truth to what you saw at practice. The fans appreciate it, and I appreciate it. So thank you, Johnny Mac.
Yeah, good week, mini camp week, and we're finally into that. Now you can start the official countdown to training camp, and then it's off and running.
Can't wait. I'm excited for it. There's a lot of stuff that's happened with this team has got me excited for it. So we will continue to cover it all through the summer and prepare you guys for training camp and the 2024 season. Stay tuned, everybody. Dan Silly will be coming up at 2 p.m. today. I'll be premiering some segments from Birds 365 on the channel. So if you're here, make sure you guys drop a like, as it's the best thing you can do to help us grow, and watch any content you like or you see on the channel. We appreciate everybody. Johnny Mac, thank you. Thank you, all of our viewers, all of our listeners, all of our subscribers. Appreciate everybody, and we will see you on Monday. Thanks, Johnny Mac.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, everybody.
See you Monday, everybody.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.